love and mercy are universal and God is available to everyone in all the world. He's available to all people, to all the nations on human earth, human people. So whether it's Mongolia or Sardinia or Ceylon or Vanuatu or the Sunshine Coast, Australia, wherever, God with His love and His mercy has a salvation purpose plan covering everyone. And Epiphany, yesterday is this, obviously, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, and the Epiphany season goes on for a while, longer than the Christmas season, goes on for 5 weeks. So up until the middle of next month, and when we come up about 14th, I think it is Wednesday, 14th to actually Wednesday, and then we begin the very special season, the long season of Lent in preparation for Easter. And in the early church, Epiphany predated Christmas. The first big festivals in the ancient church were Epiphany, Easter, and Pentecost. Christmas actually came a little bit later. So the focus on Epiphany is the coming of the Magi, the scholars from the East. Clearly they were astrologers, that was part of their experience and their understanding. They were pagans, but they, God in His mercy, we see was reaching up and drawing them as they symbolize His purpose to draw all people to Himself. They symbolize the Gentiles that they represented. That's a very important question to notice. And in the New Testament, I think perhaps superbly Paul celebrates the manifestation of Christ. He's called to be a steward of the grace of God, and in his epistles he proclaims that the Gentiles are co-heirs and co-partners with all the members of the body of Christ. All are called to share together the one gospel and the promises of that gospel. So the scene here, it's just so nice. You can't smell the enemies or the animals or any manure in the stable run about. We tend to have very clinical pictures, beautiful, but there we are with the nativity scene here. But remember, there's so much stuff going on in the real world around them. We have this just after Christmas, the Feast of the Holy Innocents, marking the wretched and wicked Herod ordering the killing of all male children 2 years and younger. Stuff was happening, as it does right now out in this world. Pick up yesterday's paper, Weekend Australian, anything, and there are tsunamis of all kinds impacting people's lives on somewhere in the world every day of the year. There have been big ocean tsunamis, but there are other real tsunamis of consequence of one kind and another that encroach on whole peoples, but there are other tsunamis that might impact our own personal life, our family and so on, people we know, people for whom we have concern and pray. And here we have a picture of the life of Christ. Here, coming's about coming. There's God's approach, coming in great humility. I love that phrase. He came amongst us in great humility. Not with a great show, not a great fanfare, but was born amongst us. Surely, to teach us and encourage us to seek to live our lives in great, real humility. It doesn't mean we're called to be drawbacks. It's called to know ourselves and understand ourselves in the presence of God and of one another, to know our place. full center. So this morning we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. He's baptized at the hands of John the Baptist, and that's another manifestation of God's plan, His purpose. And if you read the fuller account, say in Matthew or Luke, we find John hesitated. John didn't want to do it. He was thinking, Jesus doesn't need, he doesn't need to be baptized at all. This is a baptism of repentance, of forgiveness, of cleansing. He doesn't need it. John would be thinking, I'm the one who really needs it. But Jesus insisted that he go ahead and that he himself be baptized by John in the River Jordan. Amongst all those sinners, we might say, he'd come to save. And in those days, a sinner was pretty well anyone who didn't see or understand the law of Moses like the teachers of the law did, like the scribes and Pharisees, which meant that just about everyone else apart from themselves was a sinner by definition in the days of Jesus. So he came to save us all. And Jesus said to John the Baptist, let it be to fulfill all righteousness. He wanted to be spot on, rightly do what God had called him to do, and to do that in obedience, and to do it completely. So he himself was baptized, and so we see how he identified himself fully with those he was coming to save, to reach out to. And then we see the picture, it's so brief in that gospel reading. We hear the heavens were torn open, and the Spirit is understood to come and see in the shape of a dove. It's a dove is seen coming down and settling upon Jesus at the time of his baptism. And the words are heard out of heaven. This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Just raise your hand for a moment if you've been baptized. Well, God has spoken those same words to you. You are beloved of God. Your baptism calls you to live fully a life of communion and fellowship. A deep life of communion and fellowship, of faithfulness and love and obedience and service with Him every day of your life. You are baptized, you belong to Jesus. You are marked out as Christ's own forever. More about that perhaps in a moment. And then after the baptism, Jesus is led by the Spirit out into the desert to face up to all the wiles of Satan and the evil one, and he stands up and he is victorious over all the wiles that the devil throw at him in order to pull him off, pull him away from God's purpose. So that brings us then to the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And scriptures declare, I'm not a moral person. I'm far too conservative, even in my Christian walk. I decided to step out of my conservatism, step and have the plain shirt. I've chosen to have this shirt from Turon, salvation. I love it. Because that's what Christmas is about. It's what God is on about. It's on about the salvation of all humankind. And we read into the Gospels and we find clearly the purpose of Jesus is the same. He's described as coming to save sinners. The Bible says that we reckon we're not a sinner, well, we're lying to ourselves and anyone else who's listening. We are all sinners in the sense of one way or another. Grievously, well, we may think not so. We might think our sins are little potatoes, but no, they're not. Big stuff comes from small stuff, even when things are crooked. So Jesus came, Matthew 1:21 says, to save people from their sins. That's why Jesus came, that's what Christmas is about. And we are to be with Jesus, carrying this ministry of reconciliation, as I said last Sunday, wonderful words of Paul, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You have that ministry by virtue of your baptism. You were called to be exercising with Jesus and in his name. He came to seek and save those who were lost. And that implies the possibility of salvation here in the present time for each and all of us. And just very briefly, kind of a dot point summary about the meaning of sin, because we need to be aware of sin, or we won't really have any idea why Jesus came to do anything at all. And in the Old Testament, the primary meaning of sin was to deviate from doing what was right. And basically, that deviation was understood as a deviation away from the law of Moses. So God setting out his wishes and his desires, his plan of salvation set out in the law of Moses. And as I tried, I think, to indicate last week, Joseph and Mary were a devout family, observing the law from beginning to end. Jesus was an observer of the law. We sometimes get a bit out of kilter thinking about the Ten Commandments and whether we like them or not. And yes, it's not the law but the Spirit, we know all of that. But we also need to see the wonderful worship. There were people who wonderfully, faithfully worshiped God in his temple according to the law of Moses. Sin then was any action opposed to having a deep reverence for the law, the fear of the law, which was not to be afraid of. It's meant to have real reverence for God and his presence. And sin was the very opposite of that. Sin was to be guilty, righteous was to be innocent, and so on. And that's most of all, just taking that point in the Old Testament, that sin in any way was a person who breached the covenant, the agreement between him or herself and God. Not like marriage, if there's faithfulness or there's unfaithfulness. You can't mess around with those. There is either faithfulness or there is unfaithfulness. In our life with God, whether we're faithful or unfaithful. So sin was seen as a disease in the Old Testament already, and as any way in which the person of God was violated. And then in the New Testament, strangely, you can hardly find any words about sin, any special definitions or direct references to sin at all in the New Testament. But we see it in another way. We watch and see what Jesus is doing, and we see that he's dealing with the manifestation of sin in people's lives, and there needs to be set free. They need to be brought out to freedom and delivered from the bondage of sin. John the Baptist, remember, 1:29, John. He sees Jesus coming, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's exactly what he's on about. It's what he's on about exactly today. Come to save from sin. 1 Matthew 1:21, when the angel came and spoke to Mary, to Joseph, he said that Mary would conceive and bear a son, and that he was to name the child Jesus because he would save his people from their sin. And if you look into any of the parables, you get a picture of Jesus working to rescue sinners. Rescue all those in need of God's help. And he said to them that himself, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents and turns to God, and over 99, we don't need to repent. display his righteousness, his reaching out to people, serving the humble and the poor and the dispirited. I like the message as I talk about Christmas. If you want to keep Christmas, then go and visit the home of the Bell for the second time.
To the world around us. You say the sins and the darkness that
prophet Isaiah speaking of those who do not know God and those who are in desperate need of one kind of love, what evidence do they see coming from us that we're being faithful to our immersion, our baptism, our being soaked, our being wrapped in Jesus? So there it is. What can we do about it? Isaiah says, fill up. I love New James Peterson's version of the Bible. And his version of Isaiah says, fill up, get out of bed. In other words, get up, get cracking, get moving, and shine. Shine.